Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Looking to get Jeff Byers with us on Wednesday on the NCAA Wrestling Championships in Des Moines. I did do a sit-down one-on-one yesterday with Bill O'Brien. We'll, I think, air that tomorrow. But I did sit down with Bill O'Brien yesterday for about 10 minutes in a one-on-one on Penn State football. Spring practice underway. In fact, beautiful spring weather we have out there right now. And, of course, the NCAA basketball tournament. So we have a lot going on over the next few days. The first four games are tomorrow night in the NCAAs, which includes Middle Tennessee against St. Mary's, Boise State, which bears watching. Boise's a good basketball team. Really good basketball team. They had a couple signature wins along the way I found to be interesting. They get LaSalle, team I saw in person this year. Galloway did nothing in the semifinal game. He did nothing. He just couldn't shoot the ball. Tyreek Duren, though, was really good, which he always is. And that's tomorrow night. LIU, third straight year in the NCAAs. That means something to me. They get James Madison, and North Carolina A&T gets Liberty, and the winner of that game gets Louisville. I said in January that I thought Louisville was the best team. Even when they slumped, I still said I thought Louisville was the best team. And today, they are the number one overall seed in the tournament. And I still say they're the best team. Number one, they have great coaching. Not good coaching. They have great coaching. Pitino is an outstanding coach. And number two, a part that nobody talks about, but I'll talk about it. I think they're in better shape than everybody else. I think they're in better physical condition than everybody they play. That's why they can play in the second half 94 feet and look like they aren't tired while the other team looks like they're wearing down. Now, early in this tournament, now there are a couple things. Okay, the seedings mean nothing to me. I don't know what they mean to you, Danny, but they mean nothing to me except it just tells you who you're playing next if you win.
It matters a little bit to me. I mean, you look at the statistics over the past years and the difference between one seeds and two seeds. I think there's a difference there. But past that, you know, it can be a crapshoot depending, and especially with this year where I feel like most people have said, you know, this isn't a, there isn't a Kentucky this year who's like the hands-down best team in the country. Mm-hmm. So anybody is beatable, whether it's a 1-8, a 2-7, 3-6. I think you will see some upsets. I think in terms of one and two seeds, I think psychologically that can matter a little bit. But past that, I agree with you.
I don't think there are upsets. As I laughed out loud when I looked at, you know, ESPN. I was watching games on ESPN, the lead on Saturday. Wisconsin upsets Indiana. Are you kidding me? Who wrote that?
When was the last time Indiana beat Wisconsin?
That's 12 consecutive wins for Wisconsin over Indiana. They only played once this year. It was in Bloomington. Wisconsin won. And not by one or two. I think they won by 12 points. Upset? This is the sports network, right? This is the all sports network. They're supposed to know more sports than anybody. That's an upset? A team that beats the other guy 12 consecutive times is an upset? What? What are you guys watching?
I hear an argument from me.
What are you watching? That's why you're going to see things in this where this team upsets that team, whatever, you know, because of a seeding. These seedings mean nothing. You want to know what's really important? Let's tell you, I'll give you an example. What's really important in seeding. Okay? And it's outside of seeding. Yesterday, Miami, North Carolina played. right? Wisconsin played Ohio State. Florida played Ole Miss. You want to know what all six of those teams got? Friday games. After playing three games in 3 days, if you were to ask each coach, what is the most important thing out of your selection? Because they're all, you know, three were automatic bids, and the other three were at large. Each coach would have told you the same thing: we get to play on Friday. That extra day after playing three games in 3 days is so important. Now, Louisville doesn't matter; they played Saturday. You know, Bucknell doesn't matter; they're playing Thursday. Sure, the prep is compressed, but they haven't played since Wednesday. And their tournament was spread out. I think they played, a Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, something like that. Or Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday, something along those lines. So theirs was spread out in a normal schedule. But when you get to the BCS tournaments, you play three games, sometimes four in 4 days. When UConn won the national championship a couple of years ago, they had to win five games in the Big East tournament. They had to play five in five games, which is unbelievably remarkable. Sure, they're 18 to 22 years of age, but it comes into play, you know, sometimes in the last 5-10 minutes of a game, where suddenly you're like, you know, you're hanging on a little bit and you're on fumes. Well, that extra day, that's why people are saying to Miami, I mean, Jim Larrañaga, well, gee, you know, you're the first ACC team in, you know, in the history of the league, 60 years to win the regular season and also win the conference tournament and not be a number one seed. And he was like, I don't care. We don't have to play till Friday. Exactly. That is exactly right. I mean, those are little things that people, I mean, I'm telling you, the average fan, the average reporter, they don't think of those things. You know, you have to think about, I mean, things like that, I think, are big things. That 24 hours is a big thing for a team that has had to play three games in 3 days. Now, it doesn't matter as much for Louisville. They get the extra day, so it's okay they play on Thursday. Okay? It's okay that they play Thursday. They're going to play at Rupp along with Bucknell. So that doesn't matter as much. Doesn't matter as much for Bucknell. They haven't played since Wednesday. But for the teams that played yesterday, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Ole Miss, Florida, and Miami, North Carolina, they all ended up with Friday games. Really important. Now, who didn't was VCU and
St. Louis.
They ended up with Thursday games. So they have to quickly get ready for opponents, but at the same time have to get on that compressed schedule because they had to play three games in 3 days to get there as well. That is a big part of this. Guard play, of course, is always going to be important. We talk about guard play. It's going to be critical because they handle the ball the entire time. But I think also the other part is the ability to play two speeds. There will be a point in the tournament where you're going to have to play a grind-down game. I can tell you right now, a lot of people love Indiana. And if Indiana's in a wide-open court game, Indiana can beat anybody. They can outscore anybody. But Indiana cannot win a grind-down game where it's half-court, possession clock problem. We witnessed it again with Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a bad matchup for Indiana. Why? They have size with Berger inside, so that negates Zeller, and they take the shot clock down. Now they don't do it every time. I mean, let's tell you one of the little secrets about Wisconsin. Bo has changed his style a little bit. The key with Wisconsin is you must defend the first 10 seconds of the possession, then you must defend the final 10. The middle 15 is where they play games. They will come down now, and in that first 5 to 8 seconds, they'll try to quick shot you. If they have something good early, they'll take it. If it's not there, then they draw it back out, and then they get into that offense that draws the shot clock under 10. That's what they do. They're a good defensive team with good defensive principles. And they take lanes away, and they defend the perimeter well. Ohio State has a legitimate pro in Deshaun Thomas. They have the best defensive guard in the country in Aaron Kraft. But a nice cast around it that has really developed. Lenzel Smith had some big moments in last year's tournament. Sam Thompson's playing much better. Evan Ravenel is really playing well for them. It's the fifth straight year that Ohio State's been in the championship game, including the one they beat Penn State on by 9 points 2 years ago.
Yeah, for me, I agree with you completely. That's been the difference for Ohio State these last, you know, 2 weeks to 3 weeks, is they've gotten the supporting cast. Aaron Kraft, as dynamic as he is not going to be a guy who's going to consistently get you scoring. Mm-hmm. So I think when Ohio State was struggling, they weren't getting enough from the supporting cast, and Deshaun Thomas was having more pressure on him to score and score. But you mentioned the likes of Smith, LaQuinton Ross, I thought was huge, Shannon Scott as well. When those guys are playing well, I feel like that's why Ohio State, well, that's obviously why they got the 2 seed winning the Big Ten tournament, but that's why a lot of people think they can go all the way to the Final Four again.
Since they made the move, and I was surprised they didn't make the move earlier, because I really thought Shannon Scott would be in the starting backcourt all season. But now that Shannon Scott is out there, he's made a huge difference. And by the way, every player that plays in the game south of the Mason-Dixon line owes Shannon Scott's father a debt of gratitude. The great Charlie Scott. Played at North Carolina. Had a really nice NBA career, too, mostly the Phoenix Suns. Charlie Scott was a trailblazer in the ACC. And now his son Shannon's playing really well. Really, really well. So that's an interesting team. I'll tell you who is weird and be wary of: Florida. Every game this season that Florida has played in decided by 9 points or less.
I was just going to say this stat.
Bill wins. Florida has not won a single game this season decided by 9 points or less. 9 points? 9 points is not a small number. That's not a small number. To not win a single game. The stat I put on my chart all the time, I don't know what you put on yours, Danny, but I always have games decided by 5 points or less. But if you take Florida and expand it out to 9, they still don't have any wins. They can't win a close game.
And what makes it even more weird is if you look at Florida's schedule, obviously the SEC was very down this year. They got their good wins early, beating a Wisconsin team that was still figuring things out without a real point guard with Gosser being hurt. And then they beat a Marquette team who was struggling. Both those wins look good now because both teams have played so much better. But I look at what Florida's done this year, and yes, they blew out everybody in the SEC, but is that terribly that impressive?
Well, it's more impressive than Middle Tennessee having one win against
Fair enough.
Gets the top 100. But they're a 3 seed as opposed to being a 12. So there's a 3 seed that's vulnerable, that when it gets to a close game. And I find that to be remarkable. Next, we'll talk about Duke, Indiana, and a couple of interesting things about them moving down the road. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. Come back more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Monday. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hillshire's General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hillshire's General Store. Go to www.hillshirestore.com. What is going to happen, now let's get the Duke and Indiana as I previewed before. What's going to happen with them early is this, as I see it. When you are in power conference leagues that are really well-coached leagues, scouting is so good. In fact, I think the Big Ten might be the best scouted conference in the country. You know, the Tom Izzo's, the Thad Matta's, the Bo Ryan's. And believe me, I've been around Patrick Chambers and his staff. I know they have everything down to the subtlety of a move a guy makes. What is going to happen Thursday and Friday in particular is that there are going to be spots on the floor open that have not been opened since Christmas. It's 2.5 months. Which, by the way, means there's 9.5 months to Christmas. And it looks like Christmas out there, doesn't it? It's really coming down hard. And there are going to be spots on the floor available offensively that have not been available for 2.5 months. These leagues are so well scouted. And part of scouting, it's not just throwing on a tape and looking at a series of tapes. Like Dave Paulson talked about, look, because, I mean, they haven't seen Butler play, and conversely, Butler hasn't seen Bucknell play. So they're going to do the best they can by putting in DVDs through the scouting service on each and every player and each and every set. But there's something to actually seeing it in front of you. When you see a Deshaun Thomas in front of you, where you get a real feel in real life for the quickness of a first step, for the footwork of an Aaron Kraft and what he sees and what he anticipates, for the physical nature of a Trevor Mbakwe, for the fact that on a backdoor cut, Rodney Williams, and how he can elevate and make a play. For Brandon Paul's improved offensive game, that his step back jumper on a three, something you'd need to defend because he's really done a better job affecting that. The fact that DJ Richardson, though, is more of a standstill 3-point shooter than you realize. That when you look at Zeller, he's quicker in person than a tape would show. And he'll get out after you in the open floor and dive on the floor to make a play. That in the low post, he's a good low post player, but they don't do a good job of feeding him as well in the low post. That Christian Watford, and as much as we talk about Oladipo, who is remarkable this season, and I voted Oladipo number 2 on my Big Ten Player of the Year ballot. I just got my Wooden Award ballot today. But that Christian Watford is actually the X factor. That when he goes, Indiana really goes. Length, good outside shot, great free throw shooter. That when you see Michigan State, Adrian Payne in person, his athleticism for a big man wows you. That Keith Appling is a good point guard, not a great one. That Harris is a very smooth jump shooter. Nix is far better around the basket than he was 2 years ago. He's lost weight. He's lighter on his feet, quicker, nimble. Very good with the left hand. Those are things, and when you look at Michigan, Burke in person, just, I mean, I have not seen a player this year in person that changes speeds on the same play the way he does. You can't do that on a tape. Okay, you can't do that on a tape. That's why you'll see Duke and Indiana, they'll get shots and points in the first couple rounds because those spots are open that have not been open since Christmas.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Monday edition, following the tournament selection. It's been interesting. ESPN Radio, for example, it's been the Miami Heat this, Miami Heat that. You know what? What they're doing is great and the whole thing, but, you know, it's the regular season in the NBA. Let's be straight. Casual fan doesn't follow it until the playoffs. Real fans out there all the time. This is the time of the year that in college basketball, the casual fan is engaged. You may be a fan of the university. You may be a fan of basketball. You may be someone who lives in a state that has that team. You may fill out the office bracket, obviously for fun. But it's the casual fan gets involved in this tournament. Now, the Heat have won 23 in a row. I think it might get to 30, Danny. I think it ends in San Antonio. I'm telling you right now.
As somebody who's not a giant fan of the NBA, I can't comment with any intelligence on this issue. But I do know they play the Celtics tonight. And I hear
Celtics
KG
tonight.
Might not play, but I mean the Heat are just far and away better than anybody in the league. So yeah, it could easily get to 30. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Danny, I don't think they're better than San Antonio. San Antonio is really, really good.
Is Parker out, or is he back, or what's his status?
I think he's back by the time they play. But, I mean, there was a point last week. Let me see if it's still true or not. There was a point last week. The Spurs had a better record. And the Heat have been great. I mean, obviously, they haven't lost in a month. Let's see here. Let me just look standings. I mean, they're close one way or the other as to who's what. Miami's 51-14. And San Antonio is 51-16. So the Heat are two games better in the loss column. I mean,
The regular season hasn't been the Spurs' problem, though, recently. I think they had the best record in the NBA going into...
They did last year, but
into,
the...
Into the playoffs last year, at least definitely right. The best in the Western Conference, but they still couldn't down the Thunder. It's
right, the compressed schedule.
I feel like they are a younger team now than the last couple of years with Danny Green, and I know they have Kawhi Leonard and some others, but it's still... I feel like the growing talk, like whenever I don't turn off ESPN when they're talking about the NBA, and it's the Heat and everybody else.
Right, that's all they talk about. I mean, but San Antonio's problem last year was the compressed schedule. Age got to them in the compressed schedule. Now they're younger with Danny Green. Now they're younger with Kawhi Leonard, whom I was very impressed with when I saw him in person. San Diego State, I saw him. Nobody shares the basketball better than San Antonio. I mean, they're first in the NBA in assists. Score plenty of points. I mean, I think they're fourth in the league in points scored. This is really good. And nobody ever talks about them. I mean, they never get talked about. I don't know why they... I mean, maybe it's being in San Antonio. I have no idea.
That probably has something to do with it. And if you look at... You know, who are the appealing names in the NBA? You know, obviously you're going to start with LeBron and Wade, but
sure.
In the West, all they talk about in the Western Conference is if the Lakers are going to scrap and get the 8 seed, they'll talk about Durant and Westbrook, rightfully so, and you'll get the Clippers discussed because they have the big names in Paul and Blake Griffin, but that's a reason to respect the Spurs is they go about their business, you know, day in, day out. You know, they don't have a... You could argue, they probably don't have a top 10 player in the league, but as a team, they play so well together. I mean, Duncan still is more than serviceable. Parker's great as a point guard. Ginobili still fills his role. They don't have the appealing name, so I feel like that's a reason they don't get talked about enough.
Right. So, we shall see. I mean, I'm interested to see when they finally match up in San Antonio what happens.
Safe to say Popovich won't rest his players this time around.
No. No, he won't. No, he won't. But right now it's the the NCAA tournament. And the NCAA tournament's going to take center stage. And it's fun. But like I said, I am not of the opinion that there are many upsets in this thing. I really don't.
Now, do you mean upsets for the fact that you don't think as many higher seeds will win, or do you mean it's so balanced, okay, you know, team wise, okay, that a higher seed may win, but it still might not really be considered an upset?
I don't think there are any upsets in this thing, basically. Okay, I think there are good teams all over the lot. Let's just take a quick look here. If Missouri beat Colorado State 8-9, I mean, come on. If Oregon beat Oklahoma State, it's a 12-5. Oregon just won the Pac-12 championship. New Mexico State plays St. Louis. Eh. Valpo, Michigan State. Yeah, that was. I'm going to see Brayton in that one. Now, if Albany beat Duke, it's, you know, obvious. Hey, Pitt plays Wichita State. Are you kidding me? Ole Miss plays Wisconsin. The Ole Miss just won the SEC championship. And they, of course, they have Marshall Henderson, the free agent. Belmont plays Arizona. I wouldn't be surprised if Belmont won the game. Belmont's a good basketball team.
Veteran basketball team, too.
There just weren't any. I mean, I don't know, you know, if they were to beat Ohio State. Obviously, Western Kentucky beat Kansas, sure. But if Akron beats Virginia Commonwealth. Now, Akron's down a guard, so that would be a little bit of a surprise. They had the full boat. Zeke Marshall's really good, you know.
He is, but without, you know, Zeke Marshall, Abreu, the most important thing Abreu in a game against VCU is taking care of
that
the basketball and having your point guard.
Right.
So without Abreu, I just...
Right.
Put the over-under set at a 22 for Akron's turnovers in that game.
Right. Right. And that's going to hurt. Not having Abreu hurts. Zeke Marshall's outstanding. Once you break it. See, that's why Michigan's not... If Michigan plays VCU, Michigan's not a problem with VCU. They average 9.8 turnovers. Burke, these guys, please. But Michigan has to get past South Dakota State. Nate Walters, two really good ahead there. Minnesota, UCLA. UCLA doesn't match up with Minnesota. Minnesota is 11. They're better.
Plus, UCLA just lost Jordan Adams to a broken foot.
It's huge. San Diego State, I'll see that game. Georgetown, Florida Gulf Coast. Now, Florida Gulf Coast, you know what? They're a 15 seed. Middle Tennessee State is a 12, right? Is an 11.
They're an 11. Them and St. Mary's.
Yeah, Florida Gulf Coast. You know what they've done that they have done? They beat Miami, you know. Indiana, it's the NC State Temple. No, it's a toss. UNLV to play Cal. They play that in San Jose. It's a home game for Cal.
And the NCAA, they were forced to do this apparently, but this is actually a rematch to a game earlier this season where UNLV won in a tip-in at the buzzer. So that's a toss-up game again. And again, also, a little unfair for UNLV having to play Cal right in their backyard.
Right. Montana, Syracuse. I've had a lot of people, I see Montana. I don't like them. it didn't light me up at all. I watched Montana play in the Big Sky tournament twice. It's like, okay, you're playing on your home floor? Good. Guess what? You're playing in San Jose. You're not at home. And playing the 2-3 zone is not going to help them. Butler, Bucknell. I'm telling you, Bucknell can win that game. That's not, I mean, that's an 11-6. Is that an upset? I don't think it's an upset if Bucknell wins.
It's not one I would be surprised at. It's one of the a double-edged sword from the fact that, you know, you go into the tournament, you get Butler. Nobody wants to see Butler just because of the way that they have taken over the national story, winning, getting the final in 2010-11. But this isn't as good a Butler team, and these are two insanely similar teams. They're defensive-minded. Yeah. They're not going to either play slow half-court pace. They It'll be interesting, and one of the games that, you know, it might be first to 50 or 55 to win that game. I think X factors will be somebody like a Rodney Clark or a Kellen Dunham or, for Bucknell, Johnson or Ayers. Whoever's going to maybe knock down more threes might come away with the win in that game.
So now you get that. I mean, and again, I've watched Butler. I think Butler's been good. Obviously, they beat Indiana. They beat Gonzaga. But then Clark got bumped up. He got hurt.
And they beat Gonzaga without Clark.
They beat Gonzaga without Clark. Roosevelt Jones hit the big shot to win that game. And I mean, Bucknell winning, would that be a surprise? No. Davidson beating Marquette would not be a surprise. It's a veteran
Couldn't
Davidson
agree with
team.
You more. Not to say that Marquette's going to lose that game, but... Yep. Davidson got terribly underseeded for a team that's, I think, won 18 games in a row. West Virginia was insanely down this year, but they beat West Virginia. They played New Mexico well to start the year. And this is a team that was a 13 seed last year, returned everybody, and now all of a sudden they're a 14. And I saw a tweet about how they had, you mentioned Montana not being that great. They beat Montana this year, have a far better RPI than Montana. Yet Montana's a 13 and Davidson is a 14.
Right. So, I mean, there's certain things that I find are an issue in this thing. But, I mean, those are small things. The seedings mean nothing to me. Okay, and the seedings mean nothing to me is that I think that just tells you what bracket you're in and who you're playing to try and get to the Final Four. Okay? That's what I see. There's so much balance and parity right now. I mean, for Miami, being a 2 versus a 1, how upset are you? Jimmy Larranaga's happy. You want to know why? He plays Friday. He needed a Friday game. Playing a Friday game gives his team a better chance of advancing because the extra 24 hours after playing 3 games in 3 days helps. I mean, it helps a lot. And I think that that is a big part of this. Like, a little thing like that is not a little thing. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, early on, you're going to see some spots on the floor that were not available to the Power Conference teams that, I mean, because of scouting, just, you know, scouting's different. And they're playing quality teams. The other part, too, is that you have 37 teams heading into this thing on a losing streak, and you have 31 teams heading into it on a winning streak. Bucknell's in that situation. They've been winning. Butler is coming off a loss. The pod thing certainly is a factor. I mean, Louisville essentially gets played close to home, even though it's going to feel weird for them playing in Rupp. It was really strange when Penn State played Temple 2 years ago in Tucson. You want to talk about the ultimate neutral court game? They could have played that one in Tijuana. But most everything else, I mean, they try to keep teams as close to them as possible. Ohio State's playing in Dayton. You know, New Mexico's in Salt Lake City. It's sort of, you know, Arizona's playing in Salt Lake City. Kansas State's playing in Kansas City, as is Kansas. You know, Pitt has to play Wichita State. That's in Salt Lake, so there's no advantage there. Gonzaga's about as close as they can be in Salt Lake. Indiana goes Dayton first, but, you know, I had said to Bill O'Brien yesterday, we were talking about the tournament, and we're talking about Louisville because he'd watched the Louisville-Syracuse game Saturday. On Saturday night. And I said, look, I said, I think Louisville, at this point, we didn't know yet. I said, I think they're the number one overall seed. I said, and guess what? They get Indianapolis as the number one overall because it's closest for them. I said, that's going to knock Indiana out of Indianapolis. What was also interesting is that the head of the committee said on Saturday there was one school that was a lock as a number one. Which school was that, Danny?
That was Indiana.
It was Indiana, exactly right. Indiana was the lock. Now, it turned out that they had the third number one seed in the tournament they were in. Gonzaga was not a lock as a one. Which is interesting. Now, do I think Gonzaga makes the Final Four? No. I do not.
They got a tough draw. I mean, anytime, even though the Kansas State is playing in Kansas City, you're playing Wisconsin is not going to be easy at all. So I'd imagine that's going to put a Gonzaga Wisconsin Sweet 16 matchup, and that I don't know if you can call it a toss up, but that's pretty close the way Wisconsin's playing right now.
Kelly Olynyk would be a tough matchup, but see, Berggren is as underrated a big man as there is in the game.
Especially, you know, defensively.
Defensively is right. Offensively, I'll tell you right now, what's really hurt him a little bit, well, not hurt him, has become smarter about it, I should say. It's a completely different thing. It's become smarter for him is the fact that he is no longer shooting the three-point shot. He made the decision to take that out of his repertoire. Now, Brusewitz has not. And Brusewitz, actually, I couldn't believe it the other day. Brusewitz knocked out 2 threes against Indiana. Do you realize he was 4 for his last 30 in threes?
Yeah, I don't think of Brusewitz as a three-point shooter. I didn't know those stats, but that doesn't surprise me.
Well, part of that is you have to remember I just did a Penn State-Wisconsin game, so I had all that stuff prepped. That's why. I mean, that's the reason why I knew that off the top of my head. I mean, remarkable. Trayvon Jackson has come on and played really well. Brust has become not just a good shooter, but a good rebounder. Brusewitz is a guy that he could really be a real X factor if he just goes out and hustles and plays his game. But Mike, I'll be honest with you, I think Mike Brusewitz has been a half beat off of his game in the last month. He's not the same guy, Danny, that I saw at Cole, that I saw at the Jordan Center 8 days ago. And I saw that in the term, watching him in the tournament, same thing. I just kind of felt he was a half beat off, and they really need him to be on. I'll tell you somebody who was really a good player for Wisconsin, that is a player's player that is going to have a really nice career there, Sam Decker.
He doesn't play enough, in my opinion. Just following his box scores and just seeing what he's done, he's been insanely efficient for a freshman. Coming off the bench, mm-hmm. I understand with the lineup they have out there. But, yeah, you come next year when Bergen's gone, Evans is gone, Decker might lead that team in points.
And Ryan Evans is one of those quietly efficient, good basketball players. Nobody recruited him. He only had one other scholarship offer. One. I mean, nobody really thought that highly of Ryan Evans coming out of high school. Bo Ryan did. Now, again, say he took a shot. Was it yesterday's game? He took a three-pointer. I'm like, what the heck are you taking that for? He's 2 for 24 in threes. Oh, okay, I know you just hit your last jump shot at the foul line. I got it. But that is the definition of happy on the farm. Fun time of the year. More coming up tomorrow. More guests. Looking forward to it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.